Hey ladies, let me just see if it's streaming into the app real quick because it had a weird it looked like it was going automatically. So let's see if how's everybody doing today? Met Heather, custom streaming service. I'm gonna stop streaming. I'm gonna get the streaming in the app. So, come on in if you guys just want to unmute. Do you have a win for the week that you want to share? Anyone, anyone? Anyone want to share a win? Everybody's quiet.
I'll share. Hi, everybody.
Morning.
Good morning, or well, good
It's
afternoon for
morning.
me.
I'm probably the only one that's morning that's on this
Oh
call.
yeah. It's like 2 in the afternoon here, but a win this week is that we're finally moving to the new house, and my house is in like a huge, gigantic mess. But I finished The Gap and the Gain. Have you guys heard of that book? What an incredible transformational book. I am like mind blown. And for everything that goes on in my life, good or bad, I'm like, am I in the gap, the gain? Am I like gap or gain? And I'm like a robot the whole time. And I'm even like asking my kids after sharing what the book was about with the kids, like, hey, are you in the gap or the gain? I talked about it with my mom, and it was like something really hard that she's going through, and like it really was transformational for her. And I don't know, it's just really helped me a lot, and I'm excited that I have read this book.
Yeah, that's a great share. So that's one of the books that we have that we did for a book
Oh,
bonus a little while ago.
okay.
Yeah, so The Gap and the Gain and 10X
It's better than 2x. Yep.
is I think is it better or easier than 2X? And it basically is like 2X, you work harder, like
Busy. You're just busy.
you're busier. You're like trying to get that advancement opportunity. And 10X is you learn how to implement like putting people in the right position so you're not working harder. You're just working smarter. So, yeah,
Yeah.
really good too.
I read that book right before. And it references so much because it's the same authors, The Gap and the Gain. And then the other one that they wrote is Who Not How. And this guy, because he like when you listen to it, it interviews what's his name? Dan Sullivan.
Yeah, I
So
love
Ben Hardy.
the audio because they're interviewing each
Yeah.
other. Yeah.
Exactly. So you hear tidbits that you wouldn't get from the book, and you hear like a perspective. They offer like just different tidbits of experience than they would. Yeah, so it was really good. I like it.
That's good. I like that. Heidi, she's talking about The Gap and the Gain. She's reading it. Yeah. So if anybody that was one of the previous books we did 10X is easier than 2X and The Gap and the Gain and Who Not How, we did that one also. Any of the Benjamin Hardy books are amazing.
Agreed. I just popped in and heard that, and I was like, yes.
Yeah,
They're so
Jessica was
good.
just saying she's reading The Gap and the Gain or just finished, so
So good. Yeah, Gap and Gain, The Gap and the Gain, 10x is greater than 2x. That one might be my favorite. What was the other one we read with Inner Circle?
Who Not How?
Who Not How. Yeah, that was the first
Yeah.
one we read. And then he has another one called Be Your Future Self Now. That one's really good too. He's got quite a few books, but he does some collaborations with Dan Sullivan. Am I making that up?
Yeah,
But
Dan Sullivan.
those are the collabs with him. Those are really good.
Yeah, I love listening. And we were saying that I would love listening to the audio because you hear them talking it out. And some of the audios I've found, like, you get a little bit more additional from the author sometimes.
Yeah. Are we sharing like wins and stuff or what?
Yeah, I said, let's start with some wins. Like, what, you know? I was trying to get the live stream working and it's not working. It says it is on top, but it's not streaming into.
I'll check into it.
Yeah, it's just going direct. It's not like giving me options to enter in the codes. It did that to Danielle
Okay.
too, so I don't know what's going on with it. I mean, like, it's happened before. So, yeah. Any other wins? Any other shares for the week as we're getting started? No quiet group today.
Is Michaela off camera? Because I hide my non-video participants.
Michaela's off camera, yes, and Kirsten.
I can't believe you've never seen my hair down. Are you serious? I feel like I have it down all the time. That's so funny.
I don't know. I feel like your signature high ponytail is just kind of what I expect.
I mean, I do that a lot too, but I would say it's like 50-50. That's so funny. You're just catching me on all the ponytail days.
That's hilarious because I don't notice, yeah, either or, so.
Ponytail's usually like couple days into not washing hair. That's like when you see me.
This is like 95% of my life. My hair's like pulled back in a bun because there's only
Yeah.
like 2 days where it's clean, you know, the
I
rest of the
showered last
days
night,
it's
so fine. That is so funny.
Yeah, you can't tell on camera whether somebody's hair is clean or dirty, except for they're like, oh, you look really nice
Fortunately.
today. And it's like, yeah, well, I washed my hair.
So, Michaela, you said you sold your first digital product. Is this the planner that you made?
Yes, I sold one of the planners for $17.
Dang! Where'd you get the sale from?
I just had like an automation, a workflow set up, so from Instagram.
Dude, that is so awesome.
Yes.
That is so great.
I was excited.
That's a huge win.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
like proof of concept, right? Like, okay, someone out there likes this, so this is good. This is a good
Yes, and
start.
then I got started panicking because I was like, gosh, I hope my automation like actually works. So I had to buy it for myself.
Yeah, I've done a lot of that too. Done a lot of that. That's awesome. The days when you like first start selling a product on Amazon and you're just like, you've done the research, you know the numbers, but there's a part of you that's like, is anyone gonna buy this thing? Like, is anyone gonna like this? And then people buy it and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe someone bought this. Like, you're like freaking out. Like, it's crazy to think I've sold probably almost 10,000 units over the past couple few years, different SKUs and stuff, which like for my search volume was a lot. Well, between all the different SKUs, it's just like a lot of items to sell. That's like a lot of people in the world that have a product that I made in their hands. It's like so bizarre. It's
Yeah,
so bizarre.
it is. And I tell students that too, like just thinking like it's always cool when a stranger purchases your product because you think of like somebody that doesn't know you and from wherever, you know.
Yeah.
And then you retire something and you go, huh, somebody has my something somewhere.
Yeah. And then you think about how many units you've sold, whether you've sold like thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds, or like singles, how many units you sold. And then think about what your life would look like if your product were 10 times the price. and you sold that number of units, 100 times the price, and you sold that number of units. Then it really starts to like break your brain when you think about like, it's just interesting because like Steve and I were talking about this, and he was talking about how like looking at someone's revenue, like he's talking about like business owners in general, and no specific industry, any industry. But looking at someone's revenue is actually not, it doesn't tell you a lot about how successful they are or how well they're doing. Looking at the number of units that they've sold, or if you're in a service-based industry, the number of services you fulfill tells a lot more of the story. Because he was like, for example, in the construction industry, one job can be multiple millions of dollars. That's the world of construction. So if you're in the construction industry and your revenue is like 5 million, might sound really impressive to someone in the e-commerce industry, but someone in the construction industry is going to be like, 5 million, you only got one job this year? Like, what are you doing wrong? You know? So it's just really interesting, this concept of like revenue is relative. Like, it's kind of irrelevant as far as like success or like whatever is determined, but it's more like how many customers can you serve and how well can you serve them? And then price is just going to be relative to like whatever, however you're serving that person. So if you're building them a hospital, it's going to be a few million. And if you're giving them a single product, it's going to be like $20, right? So it's just interesting to think about that. And then you think about like what you want for your business, like what's the goal? Yeah, that's really interesting, Michaela. Yeah. So you think about like what the goal is for your business, right? Both in terms of like, you know, when you go back to like brand vision week of the accelerator, and it's like, where do I want this to go? Like, what do I want this to do for my life? And then you think about what you want to accomplish for your avatar, like for your person. Like, what are you trying to accomplish for them? And what are you trying to accomplish for yourself? And how do you create a product or service and set it up in such a way that you help them reach their goals better and faster, and you help yourself reach your goals better and faster? And then you really start to get into this like interesting space of like, yeah, like what would it look like? And I think just like flipping things on the head of like what is typically expected, I guess. Do you want me to read this, Heidi, or do you want to share?
You can read it because I'm chewing.
Okay. So Heidi's win says, Heidi and I were talking about this. So Heidi, some of you are, you know, recently met her because she's been in her circle a little bit longer, but she's been on this journey of like learning how to get investors into her business. And so she did get an investor. And this guy, he's like into real estate as well. And so there's some other situation going on. He's actually like buying her mother-in-law's house, and it's sort of like a upside down situation. And so it's a good deal for the investor, but it's a maybe better deal for Heidi's family because they don't have really other options. And part of the deal is she's getting $50,000 from that deal to invest in her business. So he's one of the guys that she presented to as an investor. She was asking how we were going to format it, interest, payment terms, et cetera. He said, "You won't have to pay it back." I'm formatting it as a gift post taxes, so I'm literally getting 50K of free money. That's crazy. Well, free is relative with all the help and things I've needed to do for my mother-in-law. That's your payment, but it allows so much freedom to do what I need to do with my business. That is so crazy. That's so crazy. And you might be thinking, like, is this guy just like extremely generous? Or like, he probably is, but also he's getting something out of it too. Because him being a real estate investor, I know what he's thinking. And he's thinking, I'm going to get a massive tax write-off. It's going to save him thousands in taxes and capital gains and all kinds of stuff. So he's actually, it's just like, yeah, that's awesome. Like, he's very well educated and knows how the system works. So he's using the tax law the way it's written to benefit himself and thereby benefit Heidi. It's a win-win-win. The real estate investors love win-win-wins. You just use the tax law. Yeah, it's good. That's super good. That's awesome. Is why I really love real estate, and I'm really interested in like learning more about it because it's a game changer. It's a total game changer when it comes to like investing in money, and like it makes money feel fake because just like the things that you can do that you shouldn't be allowed to do, like with real estate, don't make sense. But yeah, that's why I just tell people money is kind of like it's like made up. Like it's just like these digital numbers on a screen that we use to assign value to al let people do, like allow us to do things, basically. Smile.
We've been calling it legal laundering.
Legal laundering.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Kinda
Yeah.
not far off from, yeah, that's not far off. That's super funny. I joined a real estate mastermind like a couple of years back just because I wanted to like learn, and it's very much real estate's very much a lifelong game. Like it's, you know, you have to have money to invest in it. It doesn't have to be your money, but you have to find money from somewhere. There's a lot of like creative financing strategies and stuff. But it's like it's a lifelong thing. Like it's just a really good, you know, like talking about streams of income and like assets and things. It's something that like I think everyone should diversify into. So I kind of joined this. Haven't done a lot with it, but just sort of like I'm learning and stacking the deck and like slowly building my strategy toward what I can achieve with what I have in my hand right now. But it's so cool to see what people do with it. And like I've heard truly like miraculous stories of like rags to riches type with just totally just creativity, entrepreneurial mindset, and determination. Real estate is really a game changer. Real estate makes the most millionaires and billionaires in the world. That's a statistic.
Well,
Real
and
estate.
with that, I've heard, you know, there's only so much land to buy. Like,
Well, right. It's
you
an
know,
asset that everyone is going to need. Like you always need some like to eat, and you always need somewhere like shelter, somewhere to sleep, somewhere to live. So it's like this asset that's always going to be a thing. Yeah, it's really cool too. They're also like the people who run it are believers. They're super cool, very entrepreneurial, very like they've been real estate investors for like 30 years. So they're just cool.
there's another gal that I got to know of in 100X, Teresa Todd. She actually, it reminds me a lot of what Heidi was talking about. She helps people, like especially older people that might not have somebody that helps them. Like she's just has given stories of like she's bought their mortgage and then she's given them money and have even helped them move. Like she's hired a moving company to come and take their stuff away. And like basically has flipped the house in a certain amount of time afterwards and just like got it ready, you know, like maybe another investor or something. But you know, there's ways that like, you know, we're always trying to be solutionaries of how we can help an audience that actually needs it, you know, and like what a headache for you guys, this house, not living even there. And just having that taken off your hands and having money in your pocket, you know, like that just changes everything for you guys. And for the investor, like this is a property for them to make money too. So, you know, it's like a win-win for everybody.
Totally.
I do have a message here from Kayla. I don't know if you got a message from Kayla.
No.
Her mom, suddenly passed away. Like this morning.
Oh my gosh. She
Yeah,
can't be
she
that
said my
old.
mom unexpectedly passed away this morning. So some of you newer ones don't might not know Kayla. She's been in the community for a while, and she's been busy with like new babies and stuff. But she just said, you know, if you guys can just keep her and her family in prayer, and you know,
Wow.
and
How
she
old was her
said.
mom?
She didn't say. She said we're in shock and don't know how to process this.
Oh, man.
Which I don't, I mean, I'm guessing that Kayla's mom might be like your mom's age, you know, Megan. Ish. Young, too young.
Like, yeah, young for that to be really shocking.
Right.
Wow.
So, anyway, not
That's
to put
really
it down or
sad.
on the call, but I didn't want to forget it. And so, yeah,
Yeah, thanks
I
for
think
sharing. I'll pray for
thinking of
Kayla,
Kayla.
her family. Kayla's really, really sweet. I don't know if you guys know her. I mean, Heidi knows her, but she's been in Inner Circle a long time, like from the first round. So she's really sweet.
And Kayla's the one that went on the blocks, right? Is that Kayla?
That no, that was Lacey.
Oh, Lacey. Okay,
Yeah.
that's right.
They were around the same time though.
Yeah.
Wow. I'd love to do some gives and asks time with you guys if you're open to that. So gives and asks is just a time where you can, if you have anything of value to share with the group, so it could be personal related, it could be business related, it could be, I feel like that covers the spectrum, but it could fall under either of those. And it could be like, here's a tip, here's something I'm learning, here's a resource that I found that's awesome, here's something I learned, you know, whatever. That's a give. And an ask is, I'm getting stuck somewhere and I need some support with this. And also could be business or personal, because we do talk about a lot of, you know, like Heidi's situation with her mother-in-law in the house, that's kind of personal, but like it has overlapped with her business quite a bit. And you know, this is a group of solutionary-minded people, and it's just a good place to like bring things that you might be struggling with or need some support with. And if we don't have the answer, then we can at least provide support for you. Like in Kayla's situation, we can pray for her. We can be emotionally supportive in this situation. Or you never know, we might have some like contacts or external resources and things like that that people can rely on to bring in some outside information. So gives and or asks. So I'll give you a minute to kind of think about something you might want to share. And then I have a couple I'm going to share too. Erica, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I was actually gonna write back to Michaela because I noticed that she posted in the group about if anyone had a reference for a trademark attorney. And this probably has been given already because I got this from Tammy, and I think he's also listed in the resources. But I wanted to share a really positive experience I had with Justin Sanders from MasterKey IP that I'm currently having him work on for a trademark office action. And I didn't realize, but he works in this very cool way where instead of charging like none of them are inexpensive, but instead of charging like for every communication that we have, it's like a flat fee, and then I can ask like as many questions as I want, which has been really awesome because I feel like I'm like learning during this process as well. And that's been super valuable. So yeah, that's my tip for trademark
What was
lawyers
the
this
name?
week. Justin Sanders, and he's from MasterKey IP.
Cool. I haven't heard of that one. Who gave you that recommendation?
Tammy, actually. And I think
Okay.
he's in the resources
He's in the
somewhere too.
resources.
Okay.
Graciela gave it to me a while ago. He actually is really
Cool.
good if like you had a question, he'll respond to a question and then he'll give you like if you want to use his services, it's this much. Erica, can you elaborate specifically what you're using them for? I just was curious to see, like, you know, as somebody was wanting to use them.
Yeah, I'd registered my trademark through Trademark Engine, and I got back that my mark was merely descriptive. It's my trademark. My brand name is Botanical Print Press, and in the office action, the lawyer sent me the dictionary definition of botanical. print and press. And it was like that you'll confuse customers in thinking that I'm actually selling them a botanical print press, not that it's the name of my company. So I had no idea that that was actually a consideration. I thought it was being kind of clever because I'm not selling botanical print presses. I'm just selling like plant related crafts. So we're having to file a supplementary mark instead, which I guess is still a degree of protection, but not as much as a protection as a federal trademark. And he's helping me do that. But in that process, he also taught me a lot about what I can kind of do in planning for the future to make sure that I'm allowing myself to budget for what I will need to trademark in the future in a way that's like more strategic.
That's great. Yeah, thanks for the clarity on that. I reached out to him just for anybody else to know. Like, I had my brand got denied, and so it was just because the category was correct, but my description was wrong. And so, like, lint bin, you can't put laundry in a lint bin. And so I needed to like kind of think through the process. So he gave me a lot of different ideas and haven't gone forward with it, but his prices are really reasonable also. Like, I think he quoted me to like refile and stuff was like under $1,000. So, yeah.
Amy, can you make me host? I'm trying to set up the stream. Anyone else have a give or an ask that they want to share? Go for it, Heather.
Okay, I guess this is kind of a give. I sat down and prayed and meditated about my business. I think it was yesterday or the day before, and what came to me is I have been in sort of a state of fear for about, for a couple of weeks or longer, because I have to have faith that things are going to happen. What the message that I got is from the divine is that everything is happening the way it should be happening, and move from fear to faith. And so just keep plugging along with the end goal. I'm in that point now where I'm doing stuff and not seeing returns yet. I think that's the so yeah. So that was a great feeling to be like, no, focus on why you started to do this in the first place and let go of fear. Everything's going to be fine. No matter what. So
That's true.
yeah.
Did you share this on Mindset Monday?
Yeah.
Because I was like, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, I texted it in the chat
Okay.
about it. Yeah.
But
But
now, like, read it out.
I guess that's my
Yeah.
win.
Move from fear to faith. That's really good. I like that. Jamie, I need you to change something really quick. So on the like the meeting, the reason why it's not going is because you have to set up like check the box on the custom live streaming. Like on the meeting, you have to click like edit on the meeting, and then under I think it's under live streaming, there's like a configure custom live streaming during the call. You have to check that box. It's like the first step on the SOP. Do you know what I'm talking about?
In the Zoom, on the Zoom.
Yes, in the Zoom meeting. You have to like configure
Yeah, that's what I went to. And
it. I'm trying to find that.
it doesn't give me an option. It goes straight. Like it automatically live streams. It doesn't.
I know. The reason is because on the Zoom meeting, you have to edit it and check the box for configure live stream settings
Oh,
during
okay. I
the
get it. I get
meeting. Then it will allow us to do that, but it's in your Zoom account.
Okay. It streamed in perfectly before, so that's what's weird.
Every once in a while you have to turn it back on. So you still have to like check it like as a
Okay.
first step because sometimes it doesn't.
Okay, so that's happening in the coaching calls too. So I'll,
Same issue.
yeah.
Same issue. Yeah.
Got it. Okay, perfect.
Kirsten, you have a give or an ask?
To find my microphone for a second. Okay, I have an ask, and it's just kind of like a random umbrella question, but does
Okay.
anyone have any experience with like licensing? One of the things I'm trying to think through is with like the pitch from Rain Tank with the suitcase design that I have. I'm trying to like weigh the pros and cons of like, is it worth, I guess, like one, trying to get funding to prototype it, like whether it's on Indiegogo or like private investors or something like that. Or is it maybe worth it to get some sort of like IP or patent protection and like try to license it to like people that are already doing like luggage? And so, I mean, I really like the designs. It would be fun to make, but I was just like, I should see if anyone has, I don't know, connections or.
This definitely falls
Yeah.
under the realm of intellectual property. So I would think that an IP attorney could give you at least next steps. I feel like, is Erica still here? She might just be off camera. But like the attorney that she's using could probably do it. I also have a contact for an IP attorney, and they do everything from, brand trademarks to like something like this. So I think your first step would probably be reaching out and being like, "Hey, what does this process look like? How much does it cost? How long does it take? And what are like my next steps if I want to go that route?" That's probably like what you need to know next. That might answer your question. Of like which route do I want to go, depending on what like I don't know what the cost of that would be, because it's probably not going to be as much as like filing a patent, but just in the same vein, I feel like it's the same type of work. So that's probably what I would do next.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's definitely like,
I'm gonna
I
find
feel like two black holes of like so many steps, but yeah, curious.
Does anyone else have other thoughts? I'm going to see if I can find that contact.
Yeah, let me know. Also, thanks for sharing that, Heather, just about your perspective shift. I feel like I'm sort of in the same boat, and it's like right here, like right before launch, it's like, like, is it gonna work? And like, am I investing like my time and energy in the right things? Yeah, so it's nice to hear that.
Okay. Think I got it. Okay, yeah. So I'm gonna drop this in the chat. This is, I wanna say he's the owner. And then this is like a picture of the card that I got from them.
His name is very on brand, I feel like, for
Rich
Rich.
Goldstein, isn't
That's
it?
a
Weird.
great pen name if it's not his real
I know, for real. Like, did you pick this up?
name.
That's super funny.
Also, I just saw Heather's message of like, wouldn't I want IP protection even if I didn't make it myself? Yes. So I feel like just to answer your question, one route is like if I do make it myself, I have like a year if I file like a provisional patent, but just with how long everything takes, and like I know I would need probably several like revisions. I feel like it could take me longer than a year just to like get the design and like, the IP like fine tune that. So I feel
Well,
like that's also.
it's a year from selling.
Wait, say that again. So it's the for
It's
the
a year.
provisional patent?
It's a year from selling. Like you have a year from when it's like live in the market and you're selling it to file a patent.
With so you'd file a provisional patent and then you have
Oh, you're
a
saying you
year.
would file the provisional patent before you sell it?
I guess that's what I was thinking the step would be. Yeah, is like I could file a provisional patent now and have a year to like finalize the design and everything about it, and then I could
Yes.
file for the patent.
You could also, like, some people will like sell, take it to market to get proof of concept, whether that's like a funding campaign like Indiegogo or Kickstarter, or it's like actually taking it to market, and they'll get proof of concept first, and then they'll go file for a patent. That would be a good question for like said attorney as well, of like what's the Yeah, like there's different ways to approach it. What's the safest way to approach it? What's the most cost-effective way to approach it? What's the fastest way to approach it? Because those are probably going to have different answers. So then you're going to kind of have to determine like which of those is most important to you.
Yeah, that's good too.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Rich.
Mr. Rich Goldstein.
He's on my radar.
Oh, my trademark proof of use has been denied twice. What did they say was the reason for denial? Like proof that you're selling?
Yeah, okay, so when I first applied for my trademark for Simply Caroline, I didn't have a product yet, right? And so I did, and I knew I wanted to sell like multiple products. So I did the Class 35, which is like online retail
Yes,
store.
me too.
So the first proof of use that I sent was, I think I just sent like, my Amazon listing where I was selling my butter crock, and they sent back and they wanted me, they said no, that I needed to do like a ceramic trademark, right? But I don't know that I'm going to do another ceramic. I really want to stick with what I had. So the second time I took a screenshot of my Shopify site, and they didn't accept that either, but they did like make a notation there that I didn't have a timestamp included or the URL, I think. And so I don't know if like that's the only reason, like if I just resubmit the Shopify with that, if it'll go through. I'm nervous if they like how many times do they make let me prove this before they're like, nope, you're done.
What about on Amazon? What about your Amazon listing? Do you have that up
So
for this?
yeah, so that's what I sent the first time, and they said that because I only showed the butter crock, that's my only product right now on there, that I'm not a it wouldn't be a class 35 is what they were
Oh, they
saying.
want proof that you're selling it on an online shop.
Yeah,
I guess so.
I can speak to this because that's where mine kind of fill up. Do you know what you have written in the description for your product?
You mean on Amazon or in my trademark?
Your trademark.
Oh gosh, I have no idea. I did it in 2023.
Because mine is in laundry, like it's in the right category, but she said because it's specifically not written, like everything is right, but it says laundry baskets instead of like bins, garbage kind of thing. And she said because of that, then like my photos, I would have to have went out really quick and launched a laundry basket in order for them to approve it. So, which isn't like, so mine got denied basically. And you can actually go on there and you can call, ask for the person to call, or you can call them or email them specifically, and they'll
Okay.
respond and give you details. So that's what I did. I responded to that. And then I asked, and she actually called me, but I didn't catch it because, it looks like a telemarketer. But she told me that specifically. And she said, because what I did on the other one, I put like all of the descriptions I could so I could grow my, and she's like, each one needs to be a specific. And so I think at this point, like, Justin was really helpful for me. So he gave me options of like filing the right category with the right description. And so, which is not really that much. Like, even if you want to file it on your own, it's like $350, you know? Not that you want, you know, but especially now that you know what you're selling, to go forward, you could actually just be like, hey, I'm just going to do that. I talked to my friend ChatGPT and they would give me a walkthrough with the right description. So, like, you could do that too. Or if you feel like your description currently identifies like another product you have or another product in the works, then you could just post it on Etsy and show that it's being for sale. It doesn't have to be like, or your, you know, Shopify or whatever, you know, just that they see that it's for sale.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I don't know. I just, for some reason, like I feel like what kind of held me up this time, like I said, was because it said that I didn't have a timestamp and I guess I didn't send the URL for the, I feel like the proof of use form, I feel like it's more confusing to me than the original application. Like it's just like the way they have it
Yeah, I
worded
agree.
and set up, it's just so confusing. So I was like, I don't want to do it wrong again. And I thought about just like, you know, hiring somebody to handle it because I feel like I could get it approved. I just have to figure out what to send.
Yeah, you can ask them specifically and they'll give you insight. Like, so I knew like
Yes.
I couldn't have that product specifically. I had to do something different. Or like, you know, any of these other people could give you some advice on like how to proceed with that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good questions on IP stuff today. Any other gives or asks you guys want to share? Oh boy. I'll share a couple gives with you guys. So, first one is just a podcast that I've been loving lately. If you guys are into podcasts, I was telling Tammy and Abby about this the other day. But I've been listening to a lot of this guy named Taylor Welch, and his podcast is called The Deep End. But he's an entrepreneur. He's in the entrepreneurial space, and he's kind of in like the coaching industry, like very high level, like coaches, like high level business owners and stuff. Tons of knowledge, and he's actually like pretty young, but he's like really, really good at what he does. He's kind of like a Russell Brunson type. Like he's just like really good at what he does. But his podcast is like not about business at all. It's just like about, he talks a lot about like a lot of like spiritual topics. He talks about like trauma and he talks about healing. He talks about like mindset stuff. And he just is a very, very interesting dude. Like he's got a lot of knowledge and wisdom on a lot of different topics. And I've just been going really deep on his podcast and I've learned a lot. So, if you're into that kind of thing, you can check it out. I will warn you that his episodes are like so long. They're like 2 hours long. It's so long. So you have to kind of like chunk it out. But definitely worth a listen. They interview a lot of really interesting guests and stuff too. So been enjoying that. And the other give is, this is so funny. I don't think I've ever shared this as a give before. I don't know why, because it's such a cool, like, little hack. But I was just thinking about it, like, recently because I've been doing some more stuff with it. But has anyone ever heard of a self-directed 401k? Anyone familiar with that? Okay, well, you know what a 401k is. So you got that part down. So self-directed 401k is basically like, it's a 401k that you control. So like you determine how you want to invest. You determine everything basically. And only business owners can have a self-directed 401k. And this is all like following IRS guidelines and everything. Like this is all very above board, but it you have to have a business basically, and essentially your business is the owner of the 401k, like not you, because a person, an individual, can't have a 401k. It has to be like a company. But you are all business owners and you all have a business. And what's so interesting is you don't even, there isn't even a, oh, that's so cool, Rebecca. That's, I'd love to know like who you did it through. Because there aren't a lot of people out there who like know about this. And so it's like, it's hard to find, but I really enjoyed like having it. And you don't have to have like the only requirements for you to qualify to have a solo 401k is you have to have a business. You cannot have any full-time employees. So check, check. And you don't have to have a certain amount of revenue, which is interesting. You can have very low revenue or no revenue, and it still qualifies. But the amount of revenue you bring in or your net income really determines how much you can make in contributions. If you did want to contribute toward it, which is tax savings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can do pre-tax, post-tax, whatever you want to do. So you can do like Roth contributions or like, tax deductible contributions. But where it really comes in handy, if you have any kind of pre-existing retirement account, like you have a 401k from another company or a Roth somewhere or a 403b, that's what I had, which is more of like a teacher thing, more like government, from government industries. If you have anything like that, and it's basically just like tied up, right? Because like whatever company you worked for, whatever controls that, and you don't have any, like, you can't access it, and you also can't determine how it's invested. You can actually roll any funds from there over into a solo 401k, and now you control all of those funds. So that's actually what I did. I had like $30,000 in a 403b that I just like couldn't touch. So I was like 65 or whatever, and I wasn't working that job anymore, so I was no longer making contributions. There was no matching happening. It was just sitting there. So I rolled it over into a solo 401k. And here's where things get really interesting. When you have a solo 401k, you can decide how those funds are invested, and you can invest. You can invest in, traditional things like stocks and bonds. You can invest in crypto. You can invest in non-traditional things like precious metals, crypto. You can invest in real estate. You can invest in a business, like someone else's business. You can literally buy like real estate property that technically your, so the solo 401k, when you set one up, your business is doing it, and it's doing it through a trust. So you actually set up a trust, and then the solo 401k is owned by the trust, because none of this can be done by you technically. And there has to be a degree of separation. So your trust can purchase property in the name of the trust through your solo 401k funds. So if you ever wanted to like buy property, but you don't have any money of your own to do it, but you have some retirement money somewhere that's tied up that you can't touch, you can roll it over into a solo 401k, create a trust, which is the beneficiary of your business, and then you can buy property, invest in businesses, like what have you. So it's really cool. There's just a lot of flexibility that you can do with it. Or if you just like to invest and you're like, oh, I just want to like do a little stock trading and see if I can like earn any money. Now, the caveat to all of this, okay, is that whatever like profit that's earned or whatever gains that you earn on your investments, you can't keep them. They stay in the solo 401k account. It's a typical like retirement account where you can't access that. And if you do, you're liable to tax penalties and things like that for early withdrawals. However, what you can do, and this is where it gets kind of interesting too, is you can take a loan against your own 401k. And you can do this with regular 401ks as well. But when you take a loan against your own solo 401k, you're actually just paying yourself back, and all the interest that you pay, like my rate is like 4% or something, is going back to you. So it's just like you're paying yourself back the interest, and you can kind of like determine the period of time and the length of payments and all of that. But it just creates this really flexible situation where you can kind of like invest something, make gains on that investment, then you can take a loan against the solo 401k, use that loan to invest in your business to do whatever you want to do, and then you pay that loan back over time. You pay yourself back, basically. So it's just very, very flexible. I have used this. I can't tell you the amount of times that I've used this over the past, like, I've had it for about 4 years, and it's just like a really cool life hack that I'm like, wow, I could just like, I need a little money to do some investing over here. I can't technically use my solo 401k to invest in my own business. That's like a conflict, but I can take a loan out and I can use that money for whatever I want. Or I also have the ability to control what I invest in. So I can invest in someone else's business, for example. So there's just a lot of really cool things you can do with it. Hold on, I want to read the chat. Ours is actually an SEP IRA, which may be something else to look into. Then if you have employees, you can offer them a match. Cool. My brother does tax strategies with business owners with lots of different avenues like IULs. What's an IUL? Index annuities and loans. Super interesting. Lots of cool ways to invest. What is IUL?
I don't know what the
It
acronym
is.
means actually. Do you know, Abby?
Yeah, I don't even know the full meaning. It's index universal, like it's a life insurance, but what it does is it has cash flow. So you are
Cool.
actually investing in it and you can actually take a loan against it. Megan, like you were
Okay.
saying, right?
And the
So you'll
returns
be
are
paying
giant.
yourself.
I actually
Exactly.
forgot
You're
about. It's kind of
paying.
like there's like a whole life insurance policy attached to it, like a death benefit and stuff.
Yep.
Some
It
of
has
them
a
do,
debt
yes.
benefit, right?
Okay, that's so fun. So I actually got one of those too, shows how much I know about it, because I was like, what is this? But I cashed it out because I was in need of cash. And so I was like, this is nice. I'll just take this. So if,
Yeah.
yeah, that's cool. So I think the same person who introduced me to the solo 401k introduced me to that. There's just all these like cool things available to like specifically entrepreneurs. Like if you have a business, you have like the option to do these things. That would be so cool, Rebecca. We should get an investor. Yeah. Yeah, Heidi, for sure. You want to reach out to him? Yeah, I mean, I'm really interested in learning more about this. Because there's just like all these ways that you can like, I don't know, save money because it's like tax deductible, or you have more control over your finances. And there's these like, I don't want to say loopholes, but these like legal ways that you can kind of get access to things that you normally wouldn't be able to get access to. Like for example, this solo 401k helped us buy our house because we didn't have enough for the down payment. And I was like, E, what do I do? And so I rolled this funds over into a solo 401k, and you can take up to 50% as a loan. And that helped us buy this house. So just things like that is like very flexible. But anyway, if you guys want to check it out, the one I went through, it's literally called solo401k.com. I know, just like real creative, but they're called Neighbors. This is a referral link. I don't know if it gives you anything. Maybe just click and see if it gives you any kind of discount. But check it out if you're interested. It's not something that like I think. My understanding is the way most people use it is it's not so much something people continually contribute to, because there's like other things that people prefer to contribute to, but you can, but it's really great for like rolling funds over from another account, another retirement account that you have limited access to, and now you have all these other possibilities. That's what most people use it for. And this group, like the people who've run this, they have kind of like a community like on Circle, and they have like courses, and they just kind of like teach you about stuff. So it's been really interesting. Yeah. Anyway, that's my random financial give. I don't really know that much about investing in finances, but this has been a cool life hack that has helped me out quite a few times over the past couple of years. Any other gives or asks or anything coming to mind?
I have a quick share that I'll share with you guys. I was on the influence call with Cappy. Cappy led the influence call this morning, or was the guest. I don't know if, whatever you want to call it, but she did great, by the way. So if you guys want to go back and watch it, she did great. But I think call to actions are something that is like I struggle with sometimes of like, oh, how can I be creative? And sometimes like I think we overcomplicate it. And so I wrote down save and share like as her call to action. So she was like reminding people, hey, save this, for later, kind of, like you could have some kind of like whatever script you want like for saving. And then remember to share this with your friend that needs this today, or and I just was like, that's so simple, but I think I want to be like giving them like other call to actions. I was like, that can be that simple just to get people to like start following you and stuff too. So anyway, I just want to give that away.
I like that. That's good.
I have
Yeah.
there's background that would be interested in some giveaways or some reduced fee stuff.
You might need to see
That's
that
what I'm
again.
asking because yeah, I'm in the middle of nowhere. We're on vacation, so I don't know how well this is coming in. But is there anyone in the inner circle that has kiddos on the spectrum or ADHD or themselves who would want a sensory swing? Because I'm doing some I'll just type it.
We're catching like every third word. And so I think what she's asking is if there's anyone who wants to participate in a giveaway or a reduced cost. It sounds like she might be relaunching products or something or other. Okay. Launching a new product. Awesome. Okay. Sounds like Jessica wants one.
Rebecca, is that your new outdoor one? Like the one that she's been working on for a while? Awesome. Yeah, so this is her new
Awesome.
one that you can do outdoors, and there's not a lot of them, or if there's any that do that. So, sales reviews.
Sales and reviews. She needs sales and reviews. I know, I'm like, is it only for children? Because that sounds awesome. I'm like, I would love it. That's great. If you can, like, set, drop a picture or something. Yeah, link, information. How do we take action? It can hold 600 pounds. Great. Heather's interested for her grandkids. Jessica's interested. Kirsten, Nicole. It's live in a couple days. Put it in the chat. Okay, sounds good. Great. All right. Did someone unmute?
Oh, I did. Sorry.
No, go for it.
Actually just have a quick question. Sorry, I just got off another call. So apparently my manufacturer for my fidget blankets, it's been months. It's been since February, and she's saying that they're stuck in customs. And I was just wanting to know what you guys think about this situation. She's saying that they're still stuck in customs because the customs person is anti-Chinese, her words. So the guy who's running my PPC says that sounds like a lot of horse manure, and that they probably just lost your package or something, that you lost your inventory. And he says that he wants to get on a call with me to talk to her, to ask her a bunch of questions, but I don't even know what to do. He's saying that I should probably just find another manufacturer. I don't, should I even be taking it this far to find another manufacturer? I mean, it's like, it was 800 units total, and they're pretty expensive to make. So I don't know where to go from here. Like, I sold out earlier this month, and I'm just like, that was my best selling, like my biggest margin. So now I'm kind of like, I don't know what to do. Anybody?
What, like saying stuck in customs, like what happened? Like, do you have any insurance? Like what's like, where do you ship through and that kind of thing? Can you give some more
So
details?
she was the one that shipped it. I ordered, I want to say like it was December, around, I think it was even Christmas Day, that I ordered 800 units. They were ready, and she shipped them in February. And like there, she ships them through her own delivery person, her own forwarder. And she's saying now that they're just stuck, that they've been stuck since February.
Is there any
US.
documentation? Like, did you get any like documentation from her for?
She provided me like the shipping information and the shipping, like the tracking information and everything, but it's not showing up because it's not showing as or having been received.
So one of the documents is like a bill of lading, and it should have like the HTS codes and all of the stuff for customs and that kind of thing. So it's just saying it never got to customs, so there's nothing there. But it's she's saying it's held up in customs, so
She's
there should
saying
be
that it
some.
was received by, like, it was physically received, but it's not being accepted because the person in customs is anti-Chinese. So he's not allowing them to pass.
So I would be pushing for you can call customs yourself, but
Okay.
you need all of the like, what's the documentation? What's the like, is there, maybe tracking numbers is enough, but like if they can give you the vessel, they can give you more of the shipping information.
Okay.
Do you know if this was like, so sh was it DDP? I'm assuming because they were
Yeah.
somewhere. Okay,
I
so
believe so. I wouldn't have done it. Now that I know all of the shipping fraud and everything that happens, I wouldn't go that route, but I ordered it back in Christmas. So.
yeah, so it should have hit there before the tariffs like went crazy. But like I had that like before, and my product got held in customs, and I got email from customs. Like I thought it was bogus. And the person emailed me, and I was able to get in touch with them. And part of it was that I didn't have the right, like testing documentation. So that was part of my, like, because it was a child product. So it got waylaid at customs. But there should be a path that you should be able to get a hold of customs. So I would
Okay.
definitely reach out to
Like,
them. And if they're saying that it's like, then give me. Give me more details because I'm going to contact customs myself,
every time I say that to her, she says, "Oh, well, let me call again. I'll call again today. Let me call again today. I'll call again today." So I'm like, "Did you lose my stuff? Like, I don't what and if she did, what's the next step?"
This is your manufacturer that you're
Yes.
having this conversation with.
Yes.
Has it made it out of China? Like, I'm not understanding that
She
part.
says that it's all in California waiting for this person to.
Do you have like any tracking number or something to like have show proof of that?
Yeah, one of them. So she had sent originally 400 units, and those went through. Those are the ones that I sold out of. And the other ones, it's just like blank. It's just nothing. Nothing this shows is.
There's
Like
no
as
tracking number.
she gave me a tracking number, but when I put the tracking number in, it's like
It doesn't show anything.
no.
This is what I'm saying. It sounds like lies because, like, if it were at customs, you'd be hearing from them. Like,
Right.
so, like, I just feel like she's just
Yeah,
saying that. When
but
did
I
this
also
get
feel
like
that
shipped?
DDP has changed because I had that, like, I would have, if I shipped at DDP, then I had no documentation, and then all of a sudden it would arrive in Amazon. So I didn't have, like, even like, I used to always get tracking numbers, and then I didn't have anything.
Yeah.
So it kind of, like, something shifted, it seems like. But I do agree with Megan that it sounds really shady.
Yeah.
So, when did these get shipped?
February.
And when did they, like, make it to customs, according to her?
That same month at the end of the month.
This was, like, before the tariff stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was wondering. So she's saying it's at customs, but you have no proof it's at customs, and she keeps saying that she'll call them.
Yes. And she says, oh, well, they said that they're working on it because the man is anti-Chinese. So he's been sued before and they're gonna file a lawsuit. Like the forwarding company is gonna file a lawsuit and he's very anti-Chinese. And she just keeps saying anti-Chinese. And
I
I'm
don't,
like,
if
I don't
she
care,
says
I'm not
anti-Chinese
Chinese.
one
Let
more
me get on the
time,
phone with
I'm
him.
like, I will come after you, bro. Like, that is
Yeah.
not an answer for anything.
Yeah.
That's
Like I'm
not an
just gonna show
excuse.
up in California and this custom please. It's cheaper than, getting a whole nother order. I don't know what the next step is. If she did, so the person who handles my PPC is saying that she just probably lost it. They probably just lost it. If she did lose it, or if it never was received in customs, like what is the next step after this?
I would just cut my losses
Probably trade
at this.
assurance. I
Yeah.
mean, because they won't admit, like, if they
Right.
did lose it, they're not admitting that.
Right.
They're just like maybe trying to buy time or something, but they need to reimburse you.
Yeah.
And if they won't, then you need to get trade insurance involved. Trade assurance involved. If they won't, just like, because trade assurance is going to tell you try to work it out with them first on your own. But yeah, it's like they're not even really telling you what's going on. Have you called customs?
No, she won't. I mean, because I said, what's the number that I need to give them? What's the number that I need to call? Give me a phone number. I'll do whatever I need to do because I'm not Chinese, so they're gonna talk to me. I'm gonna just show up or something.
I think you need to stop asking her to, like, help, because I don't think she's either lying or she doesn't understand. It's one or the other,
Okay.
and either way, it's not helpful to you.
Yeah.
So I would just, like, I don't know the customs number either, but if she's saying it's in California, then I would just look it up and, like, start
Because I
calling
don't even know how
people.
to give them a reference number to tell them this is my container or this is my,
Well, you have a tracking number, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, I'd start there and be
Yeah.
like, here's the receipts that I have, like, here's the name that it would be under. Here's the address it would be going to. Here's the tracking number she gave me. Because if you do all of this and customs is like, we have nothing here that matches any of that information, then you can take that and go to trade assurance and be like, there's nothing there. So they're lying or something.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, trade assurance is probably going to need something from you to show that you've done your due diligence to make sure it isn't at customs. Because if
Okay.
it's the customs, like, waiting to come through, they're going to be like, we're not going to refund you for this. But if you go to customs and they're like, no, we have nothing, and you have that, like, proof, like, written documentation of that, like an email or something that says that, that's probably what I would try to do. But yeah, like, I'd first try to contact customs. Also, have you called your manufacturer? Have you, like, called her?
Called them like on the
Yeah.
phone. That's what my PPC guy wants to do. He wants to get on the
Or
phone with her.
video. Oh, yeah. I want to see your face and be like,
Yeah.
tell me to my face.
Yeah.
It's held up at customs. I want you to say it to my face. And then I'll be like, people really, like, crumble under confrontation. So if you, like, really push that and then see what she says, and if she starts changing her story, oh, hell no. Tell me what's
Yeah.
going on right now, or
And
I'm
that's
going
why
straight
my
to trade
PPC
assurance.
guy wants, he's like, I'm gonna do it because you're too nice. Because I'm like,
You gotta
how
let
are your
go of
kids?
the niceness for sure.
How's
So is she.
the weather over there?
Have
They're
you
looking
looking out for themselves right now? They are not looking out for you.
Have you talked anything about like replacement? Like, have you mentioned that at all? Like,
Because she just keeps saying it's gonna get resolved, it's gonna get resolved.
she's
With
buying
this,
time.
yeah, she's
She's
buying
just
time,
buying
and I'm
time.
so gullible that I'm like, okay, how are your kids? You
Yeah.
know, like
I
I'm
would
just.
just be like, it's not getting resolved, so I need replacement now. So what are you going to do about that? Because I wouldn't be paying it either.
See, you did
No,
DDP.
I already paid it. I already paid all of it.
Right. No, I'm
It's.
just saying I wouldn't pay for replacement. I'd just be like, hey,
Oh, okay. I get
know.
what you mean.
But I also would have like my own freight forwarder next time. Like, I'd just be like,
Yeah.
okay, I want your replacement, but you would have to go through the whole thing. Like, I wouldn't trust that the quality would be without a, definite
Yeah.
inspection and
I'll
stuff.
get them inspected for sure. Gonna patch up together some random stuff that they find. Oh
Did
gosh.
you did DDP with them?
I think so, yeah.
So that means they are responsible for the goods until they arrive at your door, and they are shirking that responsibility left and right now. They are
Okay.
just because they know like they're responsible, so they're just like buying time. Like, I'm sure her manager is like, just like
Freaking
tell them it's, you know what I mean? Like, they're literally
out.
just buying time because they know they're gonna have to deal with this, and they're just like, how long will Jessica accept this response before like she starts, raising hell, and then we have to do something about it. So the other thing too is like, I mean, I for sure, I would like try to get the truth first. So I'm going to customs to find out, do you have it? That's the first thing I'm doing. And if they're like, yep, it's here, and like it's stuck here. Okay, her story checks out. And like then I'm like, what do I need to do to get this done? And if they're like, no, it's not there, then the next person I'm calling is her, and I'm like, let's do a video call. No, get on a video call. Now tell me what's going on. Oh, it's lost at customs. Well, I just called them and they said it's not there. I gave them all this information. Now what do you have to say? Change the story, change the story. Okay, now I want to talk to your manager. Okay, now I'm going to trade assurance. I have screenshots of our conversation. You've been lying to me. I want to know what's really going on. You start putting on the pressure, and then cracks start to form. Then I would be like, so just so you know, one, you're going to replace everything that was lost, or you're going to reimburse me for everything that I've paid. Also, I'm never placing an order with you again. I will be telling people not to follow through with you because you are a liar. And also, I'm going to get trade assurance to follow up on this. Like, I would really go full send because they've been jerking you around for 6 months. Unacceptable. It's unacceptable. They're
And
probably
then moving
panicking.
forward, I probably would just change my pictures because I've even been talking about to the person that makes my bread bags and asking her like, "Hey, can you make this? Can you make this? And what would you charge me?" You know, like to see if she could just be like replace them. And she says that they can't find because the pattern of the print of the actual blanket was from this other manufacturer. And so she says, if you're okay with us using a different print, or if you're okay with providing the print for the bag, then we can do it, or the blanket, then we can do it. But so I'd have to like get new pictures and all that stuff because it's gonna look different.
Yeah. This is a really good lesson in like why diversifying is a good idea. Like, I have learned always have an extra manufacturer in your back pocket. 'Cause like the trust doesn't run very deep. Like, they are always going to look out for themselves first, unfortunately. They just are. They're going to look out for themselves first. Which in this situation, they're probably experiencing pressure because of the tariff situation. They're probably worried about going under. They're not worried about you. They're like, we're just trying to stay alive. And that's fine. You can do that. But your shady business practices are not up to my standard. And I'm not dealing with that. I'm not dealing with that. So I would just, I don't know. I'd have a real honest and direct conversation. Like, you can be direct without being rude. Like, you can be like,
You know, the other thing,
we don't accept lies
you
in a
can
kind
ask for
way.
the owner. You can ask to talk to the owner too. Because chances are you're talking to like a sales rep, you know?
Yeah, and she's just doing what she's being told. And I mean, honestly, culturally,
Moving
like,
forward, would you continue to work with them?
no. Well, it depends on how this goes. Like, if it really is indeed stuck at customs and everything they're saying pans out, then like it's not us, not on them. Although the DDP thing, they're probably saying, oh, anti-Chinese. If she says that one more time, I would
Yeah,
shut
I know.
down right away. If you say anti-Chinese one more time, I'm hanging up. I'm going straight to trade assurance. Like,
Yeah.
don't use that excuse. That is not what's going on. 90% of the stuff in this country is from China. That is not
Exactly. That's how I was
happening.
like, what? That
It's
doesn't make any
probably
sense.
they did the paperwork wrong, some shady DDP thing. And now it's going to be their fault. Like, period. It's going to be their fault. But if you just decide, I'm not going to do DDP anymore, you can still use them as a manufacturer. But if they're lying because they messed up and they don't want to admit it, no, I don't deal with
Yeah.
liars. Sorry. Good
Well,
luck.
and I think my thing is now, like, I would never have my manufacturer in charge of everything, like, not let them be in charge of shipping. So,
True.
like, if you have, because they have too much stake in the game, like,
They
they
do.
have like too much from start to finish. So, if they do the manufacturing right, that's great, but somehow they're going to pad themselves somewhere, you know? So, like, finding a freight forwarder that you trust. Find, you know, like manufacturer, have those things separate. And I kind of figured that out a little bit, like, because I started using ProBox and how much transparency I got, which I didn't get before when I just let the
Yeah.
manufacturers deal with it. It was like start to finish, hands off for me, but I didn't know anything that was going on with my shipping. And then it would arrive,
Yeah.
start arriving in Amazon. I already like got a notice and them saying, here's the like delivery window. I never got a delivery window. I was just estimating, you know,
Yeah,
like,
me too. They say around 30 days and then around 40 days. Around. So I'm like, where?
yeah, I think too, like, so we were in this at Seller Summit, we were in this call, not a call, in person. What do you call that? Like a talk, like
Yeah.
a presentation, I guess. And it was supposed to be someone else. Actually, it was Athena from Titan Network. She was supposed to be doing this talk. But this other girl, I don't know, something happened. It just sort of turned into this like random conversation, this like very open conversation. And this girl who's Chinese, like she's from China and she knows like how this works, she just starts like telling us like how it really is. And she literally, before she, so they start asking her questions, she's like, I'm not going there. I'm not sharing that. This is recorded. No. And they were like, we'll turn off the recording. And she was like, okay, fine. You want to know how it really is? Here's how it is. And basically she starts like revealing the like mafia behind all of it. Like, for real, if you were in that room and heard that, you would be like, dude, you know what China's doing to us? Literally, like, I don't have, it's like they're just right over your eyes and we're all just like taking it hook, line, and sinker. And they're just like laughing. Like that.
There's,
She was m
yeah.
way more direct and, dare I say, vulgar than that. Like, she made a few even vulgar references of like, this is what they're doing to you. And they've been doing it for decades and they're really good at it. And you have no chance, basically. She was like, you have no chance of ever doing anything any differently because you're not Chinese. That's what she said. And I was just like, and she's like, I do because I'm Chinese and I know what's going on. And she was just like, sorry for you guys, but like, and just, then she starts giving like tips and she's like, you want to play the game like they play it? Here's what you can do. And of course, all the rainmakers at the table, we were like, we don't want to play the game like they play it. Like, I don't
Yeah.
want to go down to their level. Like, gross. I'm not doing that. But this is like, they call it like black hat stuff. And this is very much how China operates, like, and
And
not
they'll
just
never get in
message.
trouble for it, like, you
No.
know, because
It's
they can
encouraged
change
by
the
their
sign on
government.
their factory, they can change their
Yeah.
whatever, they can just like change everything, just
It's
use
like
somebody else's.
encouraged.
Yeah.
Like, how, yeah, like, let's line our pockets and like screw over these people. Like, it's super. She was really, really honest. She was like, yeah. She's like, we're not recording this. Tammy recorded it,
I
though. My
recorded it
microphone.
and people were like, oh, I want the recording. I'm like, I don't want to share it because, like,
It's
honestly, because
super
it's
fear-based
confusing.
too.
And it's like, yeah. And it was like,
Super fear-based.
I've like been really digging into this whole thing for a long time now. And so I'm just like, okay, I understand. But like, we also have to think of it as like, we're US citizens. Like, we have
Yep.
to present things different.
We
And
do.
that's where, like, I mentioned ProBox because they're like even SKU Drop. Jamie has stake in the company, but he's from Australia. Like, so they know how Chinese deal with it. And ProBox is outside of China, so he's talked about like I ended up going DDP last time because I'm like I'm trying to sell out of a product. It was stuck in China. I just need to get it here. And they know certain people that they won't deal with. Like they know, like because they know the ins of like what's going on in there, that they are like, okay, well, I'm not dealing with these people. And so at least I feel like it's somebody not in the heart of China to like, and it's not, it's just being aware. Like it's really just like, it's not that like people are just out to get you. It's just that like, okay, if you're
It's
gonna have your
systemic.
factory do something, then don't have them do everything. Like keep the handle on different things so you have different companies in charge of different things. Like when they say, oh, we'll do your inspection for you too. Yeah. Like,
No,
how does that
I
benefit
agree with
me?
Tanny. It's like, okay, here's the reality. Because, like, hearing this, you're like, oh crap, what are we supposed to do then? Like, this is so awful. And you're just like, ah. And it was very fear-based. And she was basically, she wasn't very, like, nice in the sense of, like, she was just like, yeah, I'm not really here to help you guys. I'm just, like, telling you how it is. Like, you wanted to know the truth. Like, here it is. And you're kind of hopeless. Like, that was basically her whole point. And I was just like, okay, remind me not to talk to her later. But she wasn't like super nice in that sense. She wasn't like, let me help you out. She was just like, this is just how it is. You guys just have to accept it. But like, it did really open like our eyes in the sense of like, you cannot just blindly hand over the reins to someone who does not have your best interests at heart, and their worldview is very different from yours. It's very different from yours. Like, what they think is moral or right or wrong is different from what you think is moral or right or wrong. So, if you are comfortable just like blindly handing over the reins to someone and being like, whatever they think is fine, you know what I mean? Most of us aren't. But that doesn't mean you can't, like, it's kind of like you have to like live in the world, but you don't necessarily want to be like of it or like do things the same way as like many things are done in society. Like we know lots of shady, corrupt activities be happening behind the scenes, but we still have to live in this world. We still have to live in this culture and find a way to like live according to like our own standards or like whatever standard is you live by that the world you live in may not adhere to. So with that, like Tammy's saying, like take as much control and ownership as is possible for you. So like the extreme would be like, I'm gonna manufacture my own products. Okay, most of us can't do that. Okay, I'm gonna buy my own manufacturing plant and hire all my own people and train them. Most of us can't do that either. But guess what? Big businesses do that. They buy manufacturing plants in Mexico. That's exactly what they do. But we're not there yet. So next is like, okay, I'm gonna find a manufacturer to do it that I trust, but I'm going to keep control of as much other things as I can. That's a good balance. Like, we have to find what we can do and what we can balance. And I'm not even saying don't manufacture in China. I'm not saying that at all. I still will manufacture in China, but I'm for dang sure not just going to like blindly trust them and believe they have my best interests at heart because they're asking about my family.
Well, and I also think like, I mean, I hear students go, oh, I have one manufacturer I reached out to and I really like them. This is, you don't know like quality difference, you don't know price difference, you have no negotiating factors with that. And like when I was in China and Luke has a multi-million dollar Amazon business. And he's the one that Yulia references that she ended up like negotiating his deal because like he didn't have to, he had like a net 30 or net 90 or whatever, so he had time to pay on it. So he wasn't going out of stock all the time. So it's not always like the nickel and dime on the price, like on the front end. And so the thing that I noticed though is that like they shopped around at other factories. And they came back to that factory and said, oh, I can get this for $2 less. Like it took his profit margin down almost half, And so he was like, because he had negotiating factors. So, like, I think just listening to some of these people and just being in the room with them and them saying, I would have three freight forwarders, like, I would get different like different numbers, because the other thing is it depends on how full the vessel is sometimes and the cost that you pay for that shipment at that time. So it could be one person has like only a limited amount of space, you just fill that. So like sometimes your cost will be a little less. You could have a couple different freight forwarders that you just check with each time. Heidi was asking about like, inspection. It's always good to check because there's could be different prices on inspection, but like some of these inspection companies do freight forwarding too. I don't have a problem with that. Like I just have more of like the factory doing the same inspections, them doing all the shipping, them just being in charge of the final everything. Then you don't have anything split up to where, like even with a freight forwarder that has, insurance on that, like if they lose it, they have insurance that they will reimburse you. You're not going back to Trade Assurance. Like they give you that dollar amount for your product and you purchase it again through the manufacturer. So like there's just some different things if you separate it out, could be like safety measures you have in place. And these are things that like you learn through the process. Like you don't know all these things from the start. Like I literally, I'm like 4 years in and, like I did DDP all the way because I was just like, oh, the factory handle it and all that stuff. And like, and I've
Right.
told students, like, if this gets you to the final product, then do it. Then your next time around, then do some more
Yes.
research and like, okay, so this worked well for me at this time. Like you can research other factories, like what other options are there? I was intimidated at the beginning. Now I'm a business owner and I'm stepping into like I'm going to research this more because I have more confidence. I know what I'm talking about. I understand the fabric. I understand whatever part of the production, and that gives you more leverage too, So I just always think it's an evolving. You evolve your, like how you do business evolves, and you're reaching out to manufacturers and all that stuff kind of changes too.
Yeah, like I don't want to like scare you guys and make you feel like, oh, like I don't, that's not the intention. Like it is, I don't know, it reminds me weirdly a little bit of like our like medical industry, where you get in and you like blindly trust everything they say to you, and then at some point you start questioning and you're like, wait a second. And then you realize they make a ton of money off of you buying drugs, and you're just like, oh, I mean, do I really need that? And you just start to question things. It's like, well, I still want to go to the doctor, but like, it's weird. It's like, you gotta dabble with this. It's like this dance you do where it's like, I need your services, but I know that you might have like another agenda going on here. And again, like, I think the best way to describe it is like, I don't think that in the individual people are like trying to hurt you or like out to get you. It's more like it's like systemic. Like it's systemic, similar to our medical system. Like I believe that people are, genuinely believe their recommendations when they tell me to get on antibiotics every single time this one thing ha which is very frequent, and it's like that's not good for me. And they're like, just take this. It's like, that's not good for me. I don't believe they're like out to harm me, but I believe it's a systemic problem that we just like systemically, this is just what they're trained to do. It's the same thing there. It's the same thing. Like, it's systemic. Like, this is how they do things. It's not even like, is it right or wrong? It's just like, yeah, this is how we do things. Like, you don't even think about it. You're like, we would be like, well, you're lying. Well, that's actually fraud. Like, that's what we would say. They would be like, what? No, this is just how things are done. Like, it's not like they're intentionally being harmful. It's just that that's what they know. That's what they know. And you have to think too, like, a lot of these manufacturers are like, they're like family-owned businesses and like not even necessarily always highly educated, I would dare to say, and just accept like whatever like they're told. Like especially like by their government or like by someone else who taught them. Like, so we just, it's like on us to learn and to grow Because nobody, like, we don't get to like point fingers later and be like, well, that was them who did that. That wasn't me. It's like, well, you're the business owner. So, like, it's gonna fall on you. So, but like, Michaela, to your point, like, you don't need to know this right now. Like, okay, you're shipping a bulk order DVP. Fine. Tammy just did it. Tammy just shipped one DVP because she was like, I just don't want to think about this. I don't want to worry about this. I'm selling out of this. Like, I don't care that much. So, you learn as you get more into it, right? Just like with your health or with like your kids. Like you learn as you get more into it. And as you learn more, you learn to advocate better for yourself or for your kids. In this instance, for your business. Like you're gonna advocate better for your business. And at some point, you might go all the way to like, you know what? I am going to find a manufacturer in a totally different part of the world where things are done differently. You might go there, you might not. Most people don't go that far. Most people don't go that far. Even people who are like really in this industry and have a lot of experience in this industry, most of them still use China. They're just aware of what's going on. And so the way they do things is a little different. Like they ask questions that force them to be more transparent, they hold them accountable in different ways. They are very diversified. They're never dependent on just one manufacturer, one shipping agent, one anything. So it's like you learn how to like advocate better and protect yourself better as you get more into it. But the reality is like 9 times out of 10, nothing happens. It's a smooth process. That's why everyone goes to China because you don't have to think about it. And then 1 time out of 10, you end up in Jessica's situation. Right. And that one time makes you start thinking, like, maybe I should learn a little more about what's going on here. Right. If everything's going smoothly 9 times out of 10, you never ask any questions, you know? It isn't until you start having problems or issues that you start asking those questions. And it's honestly a blessing. It's honestly a blessing, just like it would be with your health. Like, you just take those drugs without asking questions every single time. But then eventually, guess what? Antibiotics don't work anymore because your body builds up resistance. Now, what are you going to do? Now I have to start looking into, like, this is Heidi's domain, but I'm looking into, like, you know, organic, non-toxic, like natural. And I am totally outside of my realm here. I don't know anything about that, but I'm like, this isn't working for me anymore. Now I need to look for another method. Same thing here. It forces you, like walls force you to grow, and they force you to like ask questions you did not previously want to ask or didn't even know to ask. And so this is, it's a good thing because it's going to make you a more mature business owner, and it's going to actually lead to like more you advocating and protecting yourself and your business better. For all of us, like we're all learning from this experience, but I think that we don't need to let it like make us cower in fear. You know what I'm saying? Like we don't need to make us make it, we don't need to let it make us like freeze, you know, and like be paralyzed. Like we still take action, but it's just like my eyes are a little more opened, I'm a little more like aware of my surroundings, you know, and paying attention to what's going on, you know. So I don't want it to be like, ah, so scary, but it's just, let's just be aware. Let's be aware and not afraid. Let's like tackle it with truth. And then we find a way forward that is more profitable and healthy for us and in our business. It's definitely a process.
And Jessica, I think your kindness speaks volumes to a manufacturer. They love being honored, you know? And so, like, I think
Yeah.
literally you just saying, you know what? I have just like enjoyed doing business with you and the quality and just talk them up and be like, you know, I'm a business owner and I have to make money. And this, like, is not making me feel confident in your services. So how do we make this a win-win for both of us, you know? And press getting on a call with them, like kind of, you know, and if you feel like your PPC agent is going to help with that, then, you know, like
Because she's already saying like it's I think it's time for us to make a replacement. And so you could just pay a half now or 30% now and then the rest later. And I'm like, I'm not gonna pay. And I said, like, well, I was really gonna, I mean, I should have already been sold out of the other one, but like I was happy to create another bulk order with the profit that I made from this. Like right now I don't have any profit, I don't have any anything. Like I just paid $6,000 for a thing that's lost or that's stuck in customs. Like, how do you want me to pay you more? And she was just like, well, let me call again.
Well,
So great.
and ask for, like I want to talk to the owner, because they need to, sometimes like even like if you went to the factory itself, like sometimes when the owner comes in, there it's just like more of a serious conversation, and it's like they don't know that you don't have a multi-million dollar company, it's just like you need to talk to the owner, like we need to make this right, and this is not help, this is not working for me. And I even tell them, I'm like, I'm part of a big community. Like I pass names all the time to other people.
Yeah, me
And
too.
so like, I don't, like this doesn't look good on you for our community, And so,
I'll get my husband on the phone. He's like big and hairy and like scary looking. He's like big Brazilian guy.
Jessica, I'm just like Googling. I have no
Oh, I
idea
just
like if
saw.
this is right, but this is at least like a place to start. This is just like
Okay.
customers and border patrol. You can at least
Great.
start there and be like, I'm trying to contact someone at customs who deals with importing goods. I
Okay.
know it's in California. Who can I call? Like start there and just start like pulling that thread and see where it leads.
Okay.
That's where I'd
I
start.
gotta go. The baby just woke up. But thank you guys so
Okay.
much. Good luck, everybody.
Yeah,
Yeah,
good luck,
a
Jessica. Keep us
little prayer for
posted,
me.
okay?
Okay, thanks. I will. Bye.
Bye. Well, I hope you're all feeling inspired after that conversation.
It
Good though. Truth sometimes hurts, but sets you free, It's the truth.
Yeah, when you get one of those custom emails and you're like, oh, another spam email, and then you find out it's really serious.
Oh,
I
that one was important. No shoot.
was like, oh, I'm like, just throw it away. Just like, I don't want it anymore because I don't want to do that. Because it was Poppet toys and it wasn't that much of a cost. And so I'm like, well, by the time it comes, I'm not gonna like be able to sell them anyway. They came like 6 months later.
They were
So
like, you're
like,
taking
and
these.
they're all still here. I'm like, just throw them away. I don't want them. Like, just
Yeah. All right, ladies. Any other thoughts or gives or asks that you want to share?
I know what we're getting for the castle retreat.
Puppets for all of you.
They're already shipping them. I'm like, they'll probably get stuck somewhere in Oregon or something.
Hilarious. You're all better off today than the patient I just gave a root canal to. That's the perfect example of how truth hurts, especially if you ignore it for a long time.
I sat through a root canal with not being numb, Michaela.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible.
I used to work for this. I worked in dental for 30 years, so I was working for the dentist, and I was like, they had to put the files down, and then they take pictures, and I was like, all of a sudden it went like unnumb, and they couldn't keep me numb, so I just like just finished the thing, and so we still talk about it. I was like, just get it done.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible. Well, ladies, we'll wrap up for today, but I want to just challenge you to just pick one thing that you want to focus on for the rest of the week. Just one thing. And it is a challenge because you have to pick a thing and you might be like, I can't think of anything. And it's also a challenge because you might think of 10 things, but you have to pick just one. And then if you get done more than that, well, you get bonus points, but one thing is the requirement, just one thing. So that's the challenge at some point today. Heather, go ahead.
Quick question for those of you who've been to the castle retreat before, and Kirsten, who lives in Colorado, is it better for me to get a ticket now? Like, should I jump on it? or like a flight, or wait. Do you know what I mean? What do you recommend?
You might have time to watch it. I mean, flights to Denver are typically like always open. And I feel like relatively inexpensive. But if you want to fly into the Springs, those would probably like slowly climb up in price.
And
They
I would
are less
recommend,
frequent.
yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Southwest, I don't, Southwest Delta, is Delta a direct too? Do they go into Springs? Delta?
I
I don't
think
know
it's
about
just
Delta.
United, Southwest. You can go to the Colorado Springs like airport website and it will show you all the flights. They're pretty easy. It's pretty easy to find like a connector if you want to like fly to Denver for your like main flight and then get like a little puddle jumper to the Springs or something. They have tons of those.
Oh,
So
good to know. Good
yeah,
to
that's
know.
a good route too. And they're relatively inexpensive,
I
especially if you're
wouldn't.
flying those airlines. They always connect to the Springs.
I wouldn't recommend going into Denver because we had somebody do that last year, and it was like she ended up getting really waylaid, and Stephen and Chelsea had that same thing happen. So at least when you go into Colorado Springs, you know you're landing there.
Yeah, it's just kind of far. And it's like,
Yeah.
you're paying an Uber, it's not cheap, and you're just like, nah. I mean,
Yeah,
if
but
you're
if you
looking
can
at
hack
prices.
it. Oh, sorry, Tammy.
Oh, I just was gonna say, if you're looking at prices, I would price Colorado Springs like first, you know.
Yeah, it will be a lot more expensive, but you can, if you have it on your radar of like, oh, I can fly Delta or whatever and get to Denver and then like look for a connecting flight to the Springs, that would
That's a really good idea.
open up a lot more options.
It would, yeah. I might look into that because you might actually save money that way. I do that all the time.
Well, and I know because I used to go there all the time because my friend lived there forever. But Southwest was kind of just coming in when I was like, they just got there when she moved. And I look like South, I am on Southwest. I don't know if you can travel Southwest, but like I get their promotionals, like I'm on their email list. So I'll see that they have a sale. And so sometimes I'll just see if there's any, like, if it's a good deal or not, like if it happens to help me at all.
Thank you.
Good questions. All right, ladies. Great to see you all. Michaela, if I bring my husband, how much time will he be on his own? Well, he can come with you to all the things. So I guess it's up to him. He's welcome to everything. Okay. She's communicating through emojis on her own comment. Yeah, I think you should bring him.
Yeah.
Unless he just doesn't want to. Yeah, all the husbands can hang out. The husbands like getting to know each other too, because it's
Well,
just.
and the husbands think they're not going to like it, and then they end up being like, they're the ones saying at the end, I was just coming for the pool time, and then they stayed the whole time. So, which there isn't a pool at the castle, so the
This was
grown
in
people,
Cancun.
yeah.
Yeah, we had lots of spouses at that one. Yeah, cool. All right, ladies, great to see you and love you all. You got this. Go crush the week. They can be friends. Look, check it out. Already friends. So perfect. Oh, puppy. It was a puppy. Heather does. I love Heather's puppy. Cutie.
No.
All right, ladies. We'll see you in the app. And next week, we're doing the Seller Summit Expo. So that's going to take place of our regular weekly call, just so you know. Feel free to attend and like you can spontaneously jump in and share takeaways if you want to, but no pressure. We got a couple ladies who are like prepared to share. But yeah, that's what we'll do
Oh.
for you next week.
Hey, I never got my anything about the replays for the summit. Also, I forgot to mention that. I think
Oh,
I posted something in the app, but
Tammy, did you send those out? Did you like email them out or how did they get sent?
did. I sent everybody to the Rainmaker email.
Yeah, I searched for it, but I wasn't sure like
I can
what
send it
to
to you
search.
again.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'll send it to your Rainmaker email just to be checking that
Heather,
once
you didn't get anything from
again.
Seller Summit? Interesting. Maybe just send it to Heather too, because you should have your own login, but you can just use this one too.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All
Awesome.
right, bye, everybody.
Bye.